My name is Scott McDermott. I am one of the pastors on staff, and we are so glad that you decided to join us today. This is a special day. I'm going to try to keep this short and sweet because after me, we have an incredible musical presentation. I got to hear them in rehearsal, and it is amazing and just a wonderful way to honor God this Christmas season. The title of the cantata that they're about to perform for us is called The Three Gifts. And of course, when we think of three gifts, it immediately makes us think of the three wise men who brought the gifts to the Christ child. And you start thinking about gold and frankincense and myrrh. And I hate to break it to you, but I'm not going to talk about any of those things today. In fact, later on in the series that we are currently in, we'll reference the Magi who bring gifts to the Christ child, and we may have some facts that will disappoint the story that you've heard from Hallmark about the Christmas story itself, because the way you've heard it may not be completely accurate. But today, I don't want to talk about those three gifts. I want to talk instead about three gifts that you can give to God. Three gifts that you can give to God this Christmas season. Now, I don't know if your family is like mine, but I believe that in almost every family, there's one person who's really hard to buy for. You guys, anybody have one of those in their family that's really hard to buy for? Either they're super picky, or they have everything, and they return whatever you give them anyway. Well, in my family, the person who's hard to buy for is not mean, and they're not picky. In fact, they're super gracious and kind. She just doesn't want anything. So my 94-year-old grandma, Betty, doesn't want anything. If you ask her what she wants for Christmas, she will say, "Oh, sweetheart, don't buy me anything. I just want a hug," right? But you feel bad if you don't buy her something because she always buys you something. And so you come into this conundrum of she doesn't want anything, but I need to buy her something, but she already has everything she wants. So it's tough to buy something for Grandma Betty. And every year we scratch our heads and try to figure it out and eventually buy her some little, you know, cherub statue because she loves them. But honestly, my son last year gave her a quarter and she was thrilled. So it's not that she's picky, she's just hard to buy for. So everybody has one of those in their family, and today I'm talking to you about giving something to God. Like, let's up the ante a little bit. God is impossible to buy for. He doesn't, not only does he not need anything or want anything, he made everything. Everything that exists is from God. And so how can you possibly give a gift to God? Well, it's not going to be something you buy on Amazon. It's not going to be something that you wrap. The gift that God wants this Christmas, well, actually three of them, are less physical and much more spiritual than that. So I want to talk about the three gifts today, and they are part of the title of the cantata. The three gifts that we're talking about are our lives, our hearts, and our praise. Those are the three things that God wants from us this Christmas. So the first one we're going to talk about is our lives. We want to give our lives to God this Christmas, and not just a little bit of our lives. God is a little bit greedy in that way. He wants all of your life, every bit, every part, not just the few hours that you spend here on Sunday morning, or if you're part of a small group, those hours too. He doesn't want just the spiritual hours. He wants all of your life. He wants your work lives. If you are employed like I am, granted, I work in a church, so okay. But he wants your work lives. He wants the hours that you spend at the office. He wants to change the way you interact with your coworkers, especially that one coworker. He wants your work lives. He wants your home lives, how you treat your children, how you treat your relatives, what you do with your free time, what you watch on TV. God wants that part of your life as well. He wants all of it. A couple years ago, I heard a pastor talk about this, and he said it's like inviting a guest to your home, but the guest is God. Now, when you invite a guest to your home, if you are like me, you clean a few rooms, the ones that you want the guest to go in. You clean the living room, you clean the dining room, the kitchen, of course, the guest bath in case they have to use the restroom, but the rest of the house pretty much stays as it was, which in my case means Legos everywhere. So you clean the parts you want them to go into, and you hope they stay within those boundaries. But God is not a good house guest. He is not content to stay in just those few presentable rooms. God starts looking through the closets, which immediately makes you uncomfortable. He goes into the bedrooms. He goes into the basement, which is a wreck. God is not content to stay where we want him to stay. He wants to see the whole house. And that is what God wants from our lives. He wants all of us. In Mark chapter 12, verse 30, it says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength," which is to say, all of you. God wants our lives, every bit of it. And today, if you would even commit to finding one area of your life that God is not currently welcome in, but you could invite him in to your heart, that part of your life, to transform that part of your life, then I think God would be honored, and that would be a gift that God would gladly receive today. The second gift that God desires is our hearts. Now, in biblical terms, the heart is not an organ that pumps blood to the body. It is the center of your being. It is who you are. So when you see the Bible refer to your heart, it is not talking about a physical thing. It is talking about a spiritual thing. What makes you, you? That's what God desires, is your individual self. And yet, we tend to put on this facade, even for God, which is interesting. We dress up for church and look nice. I wore a sport coat today. I hope you noticed. Thanks. We try to put on a pretense, even in our moments of prayer, where we act as if our lives are better than they are with God, which is so strange, because God knows exactly what's going on. And yet we try to put on this facade that we are fine, things are fine, if you could only help me with this one little item, when in fact our lives are in chaos and we're scared and worried and frustrated. Why do we do that? God wants you. He made you. He made you to be how you are. He's not ashamed of you and your quirks and your flaws. He made you. He loves you and he wants you, the center of who you are. He wants our hearts, and he doesn't just want the exterior, the outside presentation that we put on. In fact, Jesus got frustrated with the Pharisees. He said that they washed the outside of the cup, but the inside was filthy. They put on a good show for other people and even for God, but their hearts were dirty. God wants our hearts. He wants who we really are, not on the exterior, not what we look like. He wants us. We read in Proverbs chapter 3, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, and in all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight." So today, see if I can do this. God wants our hearts. And then finally, God wants our praise. He wants our praise. He wants us to give him the glory and the honor that he deserves, because every good thing is from God. And we should constantly be people who are giving him praise. Now, we praise him together as a community. We come together on days like this and we all sing praises to his name. And I am sure that he is glorified by this time and the work and the effort that has gone in to prepare it. But God also wants our praise individually. He wants it when you're driving down the road and you think of your children and the blessing they are to your lives. He wants you to praise him in those quiet moments. When you're sitting by yourself at night and you're looking at the Christmas lights on the tree that you've put up and you remember why we do such things, he wants you to praise him then as you sit on your couch by yourself. He doesn't just want us to come together on special occasions to give him praise. He wants our praise all the time. In fact, he wants us to make it a habit that we become people of praise. Now, we all have habits. I chew my fingernails. I'm sorry. I know it's disgusting. My mom tried putting that stuff on my fingernails. It didn't work. I just chewed them anyway. We all have habits. This is a good one, one that you should encourage yourself to take on, and those that you love, to become people of praise. When good things happen, that you would stop and praise God for it. that you would make the time in your heart. It only takes a second. It takes a simple thank you, God. Thank you, God, for today. Thank you, God, for that gift. Thank you, God, for that moment. Thank you, God, for these people. Thank you, God, for this church. That we would become people of praise, corporately and individually. Psalm 150 is all about praise. It says, praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and the lyre. Praise him with timbrel and dancing. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with the clash of the cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so today, we come together to praise God. And we give him our praise. These are the gifts that God wants from us. Our lives, our hearts, and our praise. Let us pray. Father God, thank you so much for today. Thank you for the gift that you gave us so many years ago. The gift of the Christ child that has come into the world to give us hope, peace, and joy. Lord, today we give you gifts as well. We give you our lives, all of it. We give you our hearts, every part of who we are. And today we give you our praise. But let us not be content with one day. Let us praise you every day. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.